Okay, City Council meeting for Tuesday, June 15th, 2021 is called to order. Invocation by Councilman Jeff Boyd, followed by our Pledge of Allegiance.
Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, first of all, just thanking you for the city we live in. I just want to take a moment and just say thank you for our employees. I pray protection over them. As I listened this weekend to all the sirens and all the happenings, we take a lot of it for granted. And I just pray protection over every employee we have in every department. And I pray over this city with all of our tourists. I'm so grateful that the five-year-old was released today. Lord, I pray for the families of those that have had issues here. And I just pray protection over this city. And most of all, I pray for us as a council, that we just have wisdom and discernment and fairness in every decision we make. And that we're good stewards of this city. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers.
Here.
Councilmember Johnson.
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell.
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock.
Here.
Councilmember Boyd.
Here.
Mayor Kennan.
Here. Entertain a motion regarding tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Considering previous minutes from our regular meeting, Committee of the Whole, 5/18/2021. There are no objections. Reading for the minutes will be waived. No corrections to the minutes. No corrections. Minutes stand approved as written. Okay. Announcements. I'd like to, I went to, I don't know if some of you guys, the funeral of Deputy Bill Smith, who drowned while trying to save those folks down on Fort Morgan Road, and Deputy Sidney Wentworth, his partner, who survived and was there and let them, how sad we are. But a reminder of just how important our public safety officers are.
That's right. Yes.
And from my perspective, the city of Orange Beach, we absolutely support our officers 100%.
Amen.
Our first responders, our firemen, there's no waiver, no equivocation. They are number one and first on our priority list.
That's Amen. Right.
So,
I believe as they were responding down there on Fort Morgan Road that Sunday afternoon, our crews were responding too in the waters simultaneously. So I can't say enough about how much we appreciate it. You know, unfortunately, they don't have the resources down there in that area like, you know, like we do in Gulf Shores does. So appreciate us all working together as much as we can.
For every drowning, I don't know how many saves there are.
Right.
But it's a bunch.
That's right.
And our guys save somebody, I don't know, pretty close to every day during the summer. I don't know what the numbers are right offhand. I know you guys keep up with them. But
yes.
I guess it was humbling and heartbreaking, but it also just reaffirmed my support for our police officers and firemen, first responders. All right. Anybody else? Any other announcements? Not moved to auditing of accounts.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interests are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Okay, we will move to resolutions. A resolution authorizing execution of a task order with Sawgrass Consulting to provide civil design, land survey, and construction inspection for fire station number 5, $71,500.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? New business resolutions. Resolution authorizing the execution of a deed of city property to the Baldwin County Russian Road right of way.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? Giving Baldwin County right away enough to come in and pave Russian Road, which is a tremendous value for us.
Yes.
So, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
That's it up there if anyone wants to see.
Resolution amending the employee pay plan, job listing, to add the position of building and fire plans examiner.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing franchise renewal with Gulf Logistics, Gulf Limousine, operating taxi limousine service, city limits, city of Orange Beach.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of professional service agreement with Watermark Design for architectural services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of a task order, Watermark Design, for design, bid, construction, administration services, roof repair, replacement, city facilities, following the April 10, 2021 hailstorm, $55,434.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion.
Did anybody get the text this afternoon that there was hail coming and rushed to move their cars? I got one like 2 hours ago. I was in my office and I ran out there as fast as I could and parked under the house. I didn't want to go through that again.
I'm with you then. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of a task order with Thomason Engineering. Design, bid, construction, and administration services, repair, replace Waterfront Park Pier following Hurricane Sally, $44,800.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hopefully, we will be able to replace that in its totality, as that's what we've been waiting on to hear what FEMA would do for us. Resolution authorizing the sole purchase ambulance equipment from Verathon, $17,440.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a software license, TechLinks, Business of CSpire, Microsoft Office.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a service agreement with the MCC. Telephony. Whatever. Doing business as MediaCom Cable Division Adult Fitness Center.
Move to adapt the resolution.
Second.
Telephony. Is that right?
Telephony.
Telephony.
MediaCom.
Okay.
Yes. Let's say MediaCom. Let's say MediaCom.
All in favor?
Aye.
Nay. Any opposed?
Nay.
Moving to public hearings. A public hearing for ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Port Washington PUD. So, all right, Griffin will present for us tonight, and then we'll have questions for Griffin. Then it'll be opened up to the public. All right?
Yes, this is the Port Washington Plan Unit Development Proposal. It's located on the east side of Washington Boulevard, north of Canal Road. The property has two zoning categories. Right now it's RS1 and general business. The request is approval of preliminary and final PUD to rezone 9+ acres from RS1 and GB to plan unit development for a single-family residential subdivision containing 24 lots, with these lots having access to a new street within that subdivision, and that street would be Port Washington Circle. Planning Commission considered this application at its meeting yesterday. The motion for a favorable recommendation failed on a 3-4 vote, so it comes to you with an unfavorable recommendation. If we go to the next slide, as I mentioned, the property right now has two zoning categories, that being RS1, that's about 7.14 acres, and then you have about 1.7 acres near Canal Road that is zoned general business. If we go to the next couple of slides are just drawn aerials showing the site location on Washington Boulevard, and we go to the next one. All right, this is the, what you see on the screen is the proposed PUD master plan. It's 24 lots being proposed. There's an internal street, and that'll be Port Washington Circle. It'll have two access points onto Washington Boulevard. The right-of-way proposed is 72 feet wide. Within this right-of-way, there's a 24-foot wide street. Also have curbing, right-of-way parking for the houses, and also sidewalks. In addition, there's 24 overflow parking spaces located in the subdivision. grouped in 12 on the north and south ends of the subdivision. Sidewalk mentioned for the east side of Washington Boulevard. Lots 19 through 24, they have their rear sides facing the Washington Boulevard. And they'll have fencing along the rear lot line to shield the rear side of the houses from Washington Boulevard. 52% of the PUD will be open space. You have wetlands located to the north or on the north side of this property, and wetlands to the north side of the residential lots. The average lot size in the proposed subdivisions, a little more than 5,500 square feet. The lot size range between 4,950 to 6,651 square feet. The average lot width is almost 51 feet, and the width range is 50 to 52 feet. If we go to the next slide, the applicant provided a by right plan, what they could do in the RS1 portion, and then what they could do also in the GB portion. And in the RS1 portion, it's, they could have 19 residential lots, and in the GB portion, we calculated up to 50 units that could be in a multifamily complex. Next slide. The requested waivers from the zoning ordinance and the subdivision regulations based on RS1 zoning, the lot size is less than the 9,000 that's required under RS1. Lot width being is less than the 75 feet that is required under RS1. The setbacks are asking for reductions in the setbacks. So lots in the subdivision will have a front setback of 22 feet, rear setback of 19 feet, and side setbacks of 9. On the individual lots, they're asking for a building coverage of 50%. As opposed to the 42% that's required in for RS1. And then the parking location, some of the required parking for the houses, the 4 and 5 bedroom houses, will be located in the right-of-way. And next slide, these just shows typical lot layouts for 4-bedroom and the 5-bedroom house. It shows you the house locations, where the parking is going to be located, where the sidewalks are going to be located, and then the right-of-way spaces. Next slide. About the next 4 slides, there are 4 housing models that were proposed. So that's what these next 4 slides will entail. The first showing the 4 plans and elevations for an up to 4-bedroom house. Next slide. And this is second one is the Key Largo, and this is can go up to it's between 3 and 5 bedrooms. And next slide, the Seaside. This again is a 3 to 4 bedroom option. And then the next slide and the last one. This is the 5 bedroom option. Next slide. We did a parking evaluation on the 4 models, looked at, got the number of bedrooms in each, the required parking, then we counted garage, driveway, and we assumed, based on what was presented in the master plan, 2 right-of-way spaces in front. Now, of course, the lot layout shows a little more, but we went with the 2 in the right-of-way, and each housing model does meet the parking requirements. In addition, they're going to have 24 overflow parking spaces located in the subdivision. If we go to the next slide, other notes for the proposed plan, there will be no vacation rentals in the subdivision. They anticipate all houses be constructed within 2 years, 12 years, within 2 years, 12 in the first and then the 12 in the last year. The proposed they had proposed that the right-of-way to be publicly owned and maintained, but Planning Commission recommended that it be private with the parking spaces being located in the right-of-way. We've asked them to justify the removal of trees on individual lots where no ground disturbance is necessary during the infrastructure and common area construction. There's the sidewalk being discussed on the east side of Washington Boulevard. The PUD meets 5 of the 12 design objectives. and complies with neighborhood preservation, even though we'll be amending, if this project is approved, amending the future land use map to change the GB section. Right now, it's commercial low intensity, and we'll amend it to neighborhood preservation. If we go to the next slide, is staff and planning commission conditions. Number one, just making sure all the plans agree on the location of the landscape planning areas and the right-of-way parking spaces and the driveways on each lot, making sure that the right-of-way parking and the driveways align. The PUD right-of-way should be private and owned and maintained by the subdivision's POA. That was recommended by the Planning Commission. Making sure sidewalks are not obstructed with stacked parking of vehicles in the right-of-way parking spaces and the driveways, because sidewalks are proposed to be sandwiched between those two parking areas. Staff will be amending the future land use map, as previously mentioned. Sidewalk easement required for a proposed sidewalk along the east side of Washington Boulevard. Justifying the removal of trees on individual lots where no ground disturbance is necessary. Noting on the master plan prohibition of vacation rentals, prohibition of driveways onto Washington Boulevard, and fencing along the rear lot lines of lots 19, 24 being shown on the master plan. And any questions? Or?
Thank you, Griffin. I appreciate right. that.
How do you propose? I'm sorry, Tony. Did you get something?
Well, what I wanted to do, if it's okay, is go through my little soliloquy about zoning, because Saturday when I was in Bear Point with the meeting with those folks down there was a lot of misconceptions about how this works, and I'd like to go on record, and hopefully with Facebook it'll get shared so everybody will understand the process and understand what by right means. When someone brings a proposal to the City of Orange Beach, it is reviewed by planning staff. There is a set of boxes, essentially, that our zoning ordinances and subdivision regs create per zoning. So if I come in with an application by right, that means I check off all the boxes. By right means by state law, we have to approve it. There is no option not to say yes. There is no option to say, I'm sorry, you can't develop your property because there's too much traffic, or there's not enough health care, or we just don't like you. That's not an option. If they check off every box that fits our zoning and ordinances and subdivision regulations, then by law we have to say yes. We entertain a PUD, Plan Unit Development, as an alternative to by right if that PUD gives something in return to the neighborhood, the city, whether it be smaller footprints and greater green spaces, saving of trees, whatever it may be, you're looking at a PUD and saying, okay, this plan here offers more to the community. And at the same time, we probably give something to the developer as a carrot as well. It's a horse trading. But in every instance, we are trying our best to make sure in that horse trading, the density remains the same. If it's a PUD or by right, it's still essentially the same number of whatever. So,
or less,
yes, it could be. And most time we do PUD, it is lesser density than what they can get by right. Unfortunately, a lot of times people think that you have option A, which is by right, you have option B, which is the PUD, and then there's option C, which means just say no, we've got too many people here and there's no development. Well, we don't want any more development. Option C is not a possibility if someone presents a by right proposal. Doesn't matter what we think, doesn't matter if we like it or don't like it, if it meets the zoning and subdivision regs, it has to be approved. Would everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Kid, am I missing anything there? Okay. With this project, with Mississippi coming to us, and this project on Port Washington, we have a PUD and we have a by right scenario, so we need to evaluate them. There is no option C. There is no, you can't develop your property, we don't like you, or there's too much traffic, or X, Y, and Z. If they present the by right scenario that checks off all the boxes, we are obligated by law to approve or get sued and lose. Mm-hmm. So we try our best to manage growth through PUDs or by right, whichever one makes the most sense, but in knowing that we have to observe what state law dictates. So in this situation here, I think we can move. Have you got anything you want to add to Port Washington, Kit?
Do you want to go back to the by right scenario?
Yes, I do, because I want to do some comparisons.
Here we go. Go back one more. There you go.
In most residential PUDs we've done in the past, they were smaller homes. I think we've started, as property and values have increased, as we start to see bigger homes now being built, we're starting to get into $600,000 to $800,000 homes. My concern is when they're doing the PUDs, if we're going to five-bedroom homes, I want to compare the number of parking spaces proposed in the PUD versus the number of parking spaces allowed or would be allowed to do it by right. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
If all of a sudden by PUD we're allowing 200 parking places, even though it's the same number of residents, if we got 24 homes with 200 parking places versus by right 24 homes with 100 parking places, we have effectively increased the density. And I think it dawned on me this weekend, we need to start paying attention to that as homes are getting bigger and bigger. So when we start seeing a PUD proposed parking in the right-of-way, that's different than a by-right scenario with the same number of homes that wouldn't allow it in the right-of-way. So am I an error anywhere there, ma'am?
Yeah, in this scenario, and I just want to mention,
could Alexander Community Development, they did propose in the PUD to have overflow parking, 24 spaces in the right-of-way, and they are requesting that that right-of-way be public. Staff did state that that was inappropriate, that if you're going to have required and overflow spaces in the right-of-way, that you need to have it be privately owned and maintained. The city should not be maintaining parking for a neighborhood. So I do want to point that out.
Right.
And there was some concern raised yesterday at the Planning Commission. With these additional spaces, it could cause for these homes to be homes that have more people coming to staying in the home. So in a standard scenario, in a by right scenario, you're going to have one space per bedroom on the lot. Whereas in this case, you have additional spaces, the 24 additional plus the one space. Actually, I think they do have even more per house than just the one per bedroom. So that is a big difference in this PUD and the by right scenario.
That would be my concern about using our apples-to-apples comparisons is now the size of the homes and the parking proposed as that's increased movement in and out and on whatever roadways lead into, arteries lead into it. So I think in the future we need to probably express to all developers that that is now something being considered. Three-bedroom, two-bath homes, five-bedroom, five-bath homes, even though it's the same number of homes, it is a difference in density. We need to pay attention to it. So,
Kit, on the previous one with the 19, is that with 20, 30, and 10-foot setbacks on the houses?
Yes, that is the by right scenario. So it would have been verified, it would have been designed and verified by Griffin Powell, the city planner, that it complies with the RS1 zoning criteria.
As far as the front and the rear setbacks?
Inside. This is the by right.
And that is a 75-foot. With lot.
9,000 square feet.
Yes.
And that was from yesterday's meeting that we heard quite a bit from the community, I think, that they wanted the 9,000 square foot lots.
My concern is I'm whatever the community wants when we're looking at a PUD versus by right, I think we always err to the what the community wants. But what worries me sometimes is they leave here or they come in thinking that the other option is if we defeat the PUD, then it won't ever be developed. No, if the PUD is withdrawn or voted down and they come back with that by right scenario, that will be developed.
Is that enough space for a Dollar General? I ask that because
that alternative
could be very well. This is the same. It's not very far from where the other Dollar General. And if they come by right and it fits, we can't stop it.
Yes, that can be a retail space like a Dollar General. Whether that's large enough, I doubt it. But, I mean, we have to compare. The last place that they proposed was too small,
right.
And I don't believe that was...
I think it was smaller. Okay. I mean, a little bit bigger
yes,
than this.
I agree.
So one other question I had for Griffin. On your proposals on your last slide, one of the things was to not block the sidewalk. how do you intend to police that, or how do we police that with staff recommendations? I mean, we can make a suggestion, but...
We want the sidewalk moved to the edge of the pavement instead of between on-street parking and on-lot parking.
Got you.
So how many spaces would that eliminate? Would it eliminate that will not?
It's just a switching of location.
But they have to drive across the sidewalk?
Which is standard, to get to their driveway.
Are they going to be prohibited from parking boats in their driveways by the HOA, do you know?
That would be a question for the applicant.
Because if you look at that right there, whether you move the sidewalk or not, I mean, if those spots are out front, you're going to have issues with a blocked sidewalk regardless. You put five people in that many houses and wave runners and boats and being at the beach, it's going to become, I mean, and realistically, this is an ideal situation with little bitty Hyundais or, you know, an Altima or something, but you start putting big pickup trucks and boats, it doesn't look like that. And most people have Suburbans and pickup trucks and boats that are going to spend the money on that house. So, I mean, that is a concern, and I understand there's 24 overflow lots, but it's something that if I was buying a house in there, I would be asking the HOA what are going to be the limitations, because I'd want to know beforehand.
What about rentals?
They said none.
None.
14. No rentals.
No short-term.
Okay, but vacation rentals are
taken. No, any rentals.
That would be a question for the applicant.
Okay. Because of the Mississippi PUD proposed no rentals, am I correct?
No. They proposed 30 days.
They really, I mean, nothing less than 6 months.
Yeah, we need to find out because that's not what was discussed.
It's strictly addressed in the covenants. It's not a PUD. They made it clear that the PUD restricted the 14 days or less, but the covenants would restrict the rentals within the Mississippi. And they stated to me it was 6 months. I didn't hear 30 days.
On record, they said... And somewhere between 30 days and 60 days.
That is not what we discussed at Saturday. I'm talking about Mississippi, right?
Mississippi.
So that needs to be clarified.
That can be clarified at the public hearing.
And it needs to be exactly what they said on Saturday. Yeah. That needed to be changed.
That's what Leonard told me last night. Yes. 6 months.
6 months.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't want it to look like bait and switch. So please clarify that for us, okay?
So
when we get to that, I mean, we'll get to that eventually.
Yeah, I'll make sure they have an answer.
If I don't ask you to do that now, I won't remember tomorrow. So,
I got it.
Okay.
So, and just for clarity as well, on this one or the other one, as we're dealing with these public hearings, is there any language anywhere where in the future, if they had 100% agreement in their HOA, that they could change it to rentals? Or is that a standard from the city that this is conditional, your PUD is conditional upon this set of rules?
I believe that the intention for staff was to apply the restriction for vacation rentals that applies to all single-family neighborhoods in the city, which is a prohibition of 14 days or less, because all the surrounding houses in this neighborhood are restricted to 14 days or less. If they have covenants that restrict it beyond that, which a lot of neighborhoods do, that would not be tied to the PUD. The PUD specifically states no vacation rentals, 14 days or less, so that it matches the surrounding ordinance that applies to the neighborhood.
And I wasn't worried about making the stricter. I was just making sure they can't relax those rules.
It's a condition of the PUD. It's actually stated on the PUD. If it's not stated on the master plan, then the city has little that they can do. But since it's specifically staff made sure it was stated on the plan, then the city can enforce it.
Thank you.
And you said this was restricting vacation rentals only?
Correct.
Okay. And that's something else. We're so used to using the term short-term rental as synonymous with vacation. Everybody's getting confused. We need to probably go back and look at that. But vacation rental in 14 days or less.
I agree. I think a lot of people are saying 15 days it's okay, or 16 days, and they said that's what people are looking for. You know, so we got to do something better to be the deterrent.
You retired folks, maybe. Us working folks can't go anywhere for 14 days.
There you go. There you go.
Wait a minute.
Us working folks.
I fail too.
Step out there, big boy.
Not look back.
You know I'm playing, Jerry.
Did we get a tree survey from the developer?
Yes.
We did have a tree survey.
Yes.
Are there any heritage trees in this?
No. And as was stated earlier, we
We are with all, I'm just going to stay up here. We are with planned unit developments and subdivisions. We are requiring trees to be retained on lots as much as possible and only removing trees as necessary to build the capital improvements. That way we can attempt to save trees with the individual lot development. And that's not something that has always been done in the past, but I feel it's something that's necessary to be in line with the intent of Article 16.
With the loss of our canopy from the storms, I think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm. But taking into consideration another storm and a pine tree 60 feet tall next door to the house.
Well, there are certain pine trees.
Now. We'll have it later.
Yeah, okay. There are certain pine trees that actually longleaf pines do better than other trees.
Understand.
They're the preferable.
But
pine.
Sand, if you but just for record, if you have a sand pine deck next to your house, take it down as soon as possible. Take it down now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I want to clarify. I want to make sure that we're not, because we are saving trees, we're not putting somebody's house at risk.
It's only the longleaf pine.
Okay.
That's the only one. But they have a tap root, and they are very resilient.
Okay. We're on the same page.
Okay.
I guess I'm going to just kind of make a statement. Number one, there were over 70 people here from East Orange Beach last night. Came and they articulated their thoughts very well. 24 of them spoke. Not a single one of them was in support of the project. And I appreciate the mayor going over what between by right and the PUD. The points that I do not like are right-of-way parking. That cheapens the entire development. And when you allow right-of-way parking, that means you're just going to it's just another Cypress Village. And Cypress Village was built very well. I love those plans, but there was never enough parking, and then you're on postage stamp lots, and that's what they're proposing here: postage stamp lots, reducing the setbacks and reducing the square footage. And I'm of the opinion we already approved enough of those. And we don't need to be proving anything else.
And I think, Jerry, what I'm looking at is average lot size is 5,500 square feet, and a zoning subdivision regulated lot is 9,000 square feet.
Yes.
So the lot is essentially coming close to half the size.
Exactly.
40%
yes.
of what a normal by right lot would be.
The only benefit I see to this project is this is one of the few that comes to us where there's commercial property that is not going to be commercial property.
True.
And that's it's a huge consideration when you consider the traffic that would create on Canal Road in and out, whether it came off the sides or not, versus just the homes being there. And that kind of makes the toss up for me to go. The benefit to the other residents around there not to have that commercial is big.
And I agree, we do not want another Wolf Bay Plaza on Canal Road. And so I agree with that.
But in the case of Wolf Bay Plaza, they don't have a whole lot of traffic. I mean, Shell and the haircuts, but the rest of them are cleaner or a wedding.
It's just not a well-kept property.
Understood.
Most of those on Magnolia are looking at the back of it, and that fence has never been kept up, never been maintained, and it's got mold and mildew all over it. And
as is the back of the buildings.
Yes, the back of the buildings do too. So it's just an ugly type situation. You're putting commercial too close to residential. And
at least they can have an 8-foot fence.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'll vote for 10-foot.
May I comment?
Yes, ma'am.
Ma'am. As a member of the Planning Commission, I heard loud and clearly the opposition to this project. I personally like the compromise of this project. It abuts RS2 zoning, which I believe is about the size of these lots. And so it fit into the neighborhood. This is a Truland Limitless Project, which is their custom line, identical to what Shore Acres is, but on a smaller scale and with a more cottagey, I would say, feel. I think it would be perfect for young families. I love the location of it. I do not underestimate the traffic on Canal and on Washington. But I like the fact that giving up five lots removes the opportunity for commercial building totally forever. So I really like this project. I think that if you are going to hear from the applicant, you will hear how well thought out it is. I believe that it would be very supportive of our new schools, and I like this project. Opposition was strong and fast.
I want to go back to the question of parking spaces. How many parking spaces do we have by right versus this proposed putt?
In the by right scenario, you will have one parking space per bedroom. Mm-hmm. In the PUD, you have one parking space per bedroom plus 24 overflow spaces.
Okay, plus.
And the required parking spaces for these houses are within the right of way. So those two spaces that you're seeing in front of each house in the right of way are actually required one per bedroom spaces. Yeah, and in some scenarios they did actually have an additional space, Griffin, for yes, some five bedroom. They had in some scenarios six.
I think both the PUD and by right have something to offer. My concern with the PUD is the number of cars and parking places.
Yes.
If they came back and reduced the number of bedrooms and eliminate parking in the right of way,
that would eliminate the density.
Yeah, then they would get back to an apples and apples comparison, and it would be back to a more normal, traditional, even though lots are smaller, but they don't. I mean, we're talking about 75. I don't know the difference, a significant difference in parking places. And I don't like parking in the right of way. I've seen what we got over in Cypress Village.
Yes.
And even though these lots are somewhat bigger, it still creates issues. That would be my downside. I hate the opportunity not to eliminate the commercial side of that, because I think that's something tremendous that they offer us. And I agree with Annette on that. But if the community wants their general business there, and they want 19 homes based on the regs, I mean, who am I to argue?
I think the plus is, by right, it could be a beautiful subdivision. I mean, you've got plenty of setbacks. You've got, it could be like Shore Acres. And I love Shore Acres. It's a great development. And the plan, I've walked through those plans. The plans are spot on. And that's why they're selling them before they even hardly come out of the ground. But to go back to postage size stamp lots and reducing the setbacks and increasing and putting the parking places in the right of way, I mean, that's just a disaster that we just don't need to be looking at going.
As I look at that, if you were to take the commercial and do by right, go back to the last slide, that one, just like they're doing, with their setbacks, they move their lake and their pond all the way back to the wetlands. It looks like you could fit 25, 26 lots in there by right if you chose to, if you used a commercial property like they're using.
You cannot, you have to have, you can't have the density in GB of single family residential.
Unless it's rezoned, downzoned. Which in this situation is one of those ones from commercial to that, they probably have a pretty good shot at downzoning it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they could downzone. Correct.
They're downzoning it with the PUD anyway.
Well, they are. And in the architectural and yes, in those aspects, it's in.
It's a downzone.
But they're increasing density because of their changing it to a PUD. So, and with a PUD, you should have more of your design objectives met rather than less in some cases, depending on, but that it's everything that you've said. It's the parking, and I think that's what's taking away from it.
I don't understand. You said they are increasing density because it's a PUD.
I think sometimes using I feel like the PUD is being used to increase the density.
But this is a decrease of density. This PUD is a decrease of density based on this by right plan.
Based on the by right
plan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a decrease of density, but it's also a significant decrease of lot size.
Well, they got a multifamily up front, by right. Switch back.
Thank you. The GB.
I'm sorry to ask you. And then you got 19 lots
for
single family in by right.
Mm-hmm.
The general business would be multifamily to that picture.
If how many lots could they, if they took by right, downzone the GB, do we ever look at what number of units they could get in there?
We have not done that. Did they submit that initially? Just having the whole thing RS1, like what they could build by right?
I think it early on they may have.
Was it about the same number of lots? Do y'all have that number? Y'all may have done that initially.
Originally it was 24 lots in 2016.
24? 24. And we have not changed the residential.
To 22 lots.
So option C would be downzoning of general business property and
to RS1.
To RS1 and making it a by right scenario based on subdivision regs.
And that would be what the neighborhood wants, obviously.
I wish I would. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's not a by right.
With one ingress and egress into the subdivision rather than two.
I need to know how many you can build to the by right.
Yes.
So you've got the general business or multifamily, Joni?
Right.
You see that? Access to there?
Yes.
Nothing on Canal Road.
That's right.
Because they don't own the property.
That's right.
Correct.
Right.
They don't own.
That's right. They don't own that property.
They
right
do
next
not.
To
they
Canal
cannot
Road.
Go
that's
through
right.
to Canal Road because of the
that's
other
right.
owner.
That property
that's
not
right.
On.
They don't own that little.
So
front,
it has
front.
To open onto Washington. And traffic was a huge reason.
Sure.
And access was a huge reason.
They're having
night.
So many accidents. They had an accident there yesterday.
I understand that, but that's not a reason we can turn it down because
right.
sooner or later somebody's going to build okay. and they have every right to build there, and I get that.
If they're willing to build...
But they're still not going to be able to have access to Canal Road either.
No, they will not.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't... Economics don't play into our decisions, and
no.
I understand that, but economics play into my reasoning why somebody does what they do.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And... I guess I would want to ask the developer, why wouldn't you just do 24 by right and eliminate the GB?
That's a good question.
I mean, that's hard to argue. I mean, you're developing based on our regs and restrictions.
Well, let's ask.
Yes, ma'am.
Representative here.
Because I don't think your PUD's going to get traction, so I'm just Hello. Giving our way out here.
Thank you all so much for the opportunity to speak. My name's Melissa Curry. I'm with Dewberry Engineers, and I'm here on behalf of our client, which is 68 Ventures, who's the applicant on this property. So there have been multiple submissions on this property in the past. So a lot of the things that you see here are because of the things that were requested of them in the past. So if I could... I'll start off right away with the parking. The parking that we proposed was as we were told that we had to provide. The developer's more than happy to reduce that parking. We are more than happy to make the right-of-way private, not be public, and take that parking out. But we were told that we had to have that.
Can we take it one point at a time? Because
yes, sir.
I need to understand what you're telling me. because what you're telling me is you had to have that parking, but I think what they were telling you is you had that parking because you had that many bedrooms. But you accomplished that many parking spaces by putting in the right-of-way. Am I right, wrong?
Well,
can you follow me, Kit?
Yeah.
Because we were told we weren't allowed to count the parking spaces inside the garage.
I did not say that you were not allowed. I did say in the past there are concerns that have been raised by Planning Commission and City Council that garages become storage areas and therefore they're not available parking. But I did not speak for Planning Commission and Council.
But let me just add
that's how that evolved.
Right. But what my point is, and y'all correct me, is you accomplished the parking either required or requested, but you had to park in the right-of-way to do that.
Right. We thought that was what staff wanted, and we did have a pre-application meeting, and that was our understanding even after that meeting. But we are more than happy to redo that part, take out that overflow parking. That was done at our understanding at the request of the city. But if that's not what the city wants, we are happy to take some of that parking out.
It's not reducing the parking. That's what you don't understand. You said that last night. You're not going to be reducing the parking.
I'm talking about the parking
shown.
We want
enough parking on that lot to be able to park, if it's a one-bedroom, two vehicles.
Right.
And so you got to have it in the driveway, but it's not going to be in the right-of-way.
Well, all of the homes have garages proposed, and they all have a driveway that is of sufficient length to park within the driveway in addition to the garage. So every home has enough parking outside of the right-of-way to support the bedrooms. When the option was added to have the fifth bedroom is where the additional parking came in, but if we need to eliminate that, we will. If you don't like the overflow parking, we can take that out as well. That's all. These are things that we are constantly told, the parking. And so we thought that
that's
we heard.
We tried to learn from our mistakes.
Yes.
So, that's why.
So this is, you know, both
well,
of us learning.
Well, you're my concern. Put them in the garage and then tell them where they're going to put their boat. Because they're going to have a boat. Or jet ski. Or something.
Yes.
They move to the beach.
So
golf
do the.
Cart.
What yes. about the. Okay, how about the residents in Jeff Wynn's subdivision across the street? What's their restriction? So
they're 9,000 square foot lots.
That's right.
They have
if
more
we,
places to park in their yard.
But do they have a bark? Perhaps maybe the overflow parking that we are showing could be proposed to be for boat or jet ski parking. I've seen that done in other communities.
Yeah, and look, we're asking because for 9 years we've faced this. Every
yes, sir.
Single one that comes up becomes a parking issue, and more than anything, it's boats.
Right.
Or everyone from Louisiana that has all their cousins in town.
Yeah. So we certainly apologize if we misunderstood what we were supposed to do. It was our intent to try to satisfy what we thought we heard, and if we misheard, we can certainly address and fix that.
Okay, please do not apologize. Puzzles are just getting more and more difficult to sort through. It's just difficult.
Right.
What I wish you would do is go back, turn the property into RS1, and just present it by right.
We can do that. I would like to tell you why we have it proposed the way that we do. There is a big need in the market for smaller lot homes. Yep. All of the homes here are two stories, and they range in size from 1,800 to about 2,500 square feet. These are not tiny homes. They're just on a little bit smaller lot, but because they're two-story, there's still a decent yard that's left. Our intention was to cluster the homes together, reduce the infrastructure, reduce the length of road, reduce the runoff, and reduce the need for drainage. It's called a clustering approach to development. We have left over 50% of the site open, and one of the prime reasons for that was so that we could.
There it is.
We were trying to leave buffers as much as possible. So here's a third of an acre that we can leave pretty much undisturbed. We wanted to leave this area undisturbed, another area undisturbed back here. We want to try to be neighborly and good neighbors. So we proposed a privacy fence. A solid fence here with preserving the trees here so that the neighbors on Washington Boulevard and the existing homes would, you know, still maintain that treed view here. These open spaces here are also about a third of an acre. So the reason that the homes are on smaller lots, it wasn't to make tiny homes. Would you mind showing some of the other pictures of the homes? The intent here is to have a coastal community, a coastal neighborhood. There's a huge market right now for smaller lot homes. It's nice to have a variety in your community. Young families, empty nesters that don't want to have a big yard to maintain, but yet there's still large common areas where kids can play, where, you know, it won't feel so crowded. The intent really is to build a beautiful neighborhood. These are not going to be on the cheap or anything like that. And we're more, like I said, we're more than happy to revisit the right-of-way design and get that more in line with what the city wants. But we felt like by clustering the homes, putting them on a little bit smaller lots, using two stories so that we could have a compact footprint, we could have a lighter imprint on the environment. We've got a beautiful wetlands here that we want to preserve completely intact, plus a 25-foot buffer, and then another about 15 or 20 feet before the beginning of the pond. So we're doing what we felt like was an environmentally responsible design that was also responsive to the market and met a need for in the market that is what we might call middle housing. It's for people that want less yard maintenance, have a nice-sized home, and have more free time to enjoy their life. So that's where the design came from. It does represent a downzoning. Our by right density is about 8 units per acre, and this is just slightly over 2. As mentioned, we're satisfying 5 of the 12 objectives that are listed in the PUD ordinance. Several of those objectives pertain to commercial uses, so they don't apply. But I could have done more. I just, you know, felt like that those 5 were the strongest that we could address. But the intent here really is to provide a lovely, quaint neighborhood that fits into the community, that meets a need, and leaves parts of a beautiful piece of property still intact. That's where we are.
So if you want a lovely neighborhood like you're talking about, that means you'd have you will not allow any rentals. So are you willing to put in the statement in the document there will be no rental property in this neighborhood?
I can certainly bring that back to the developer.
I'm sorry.
Even long-term rentals. I'm saying zero rentals.
I don't think they have the authority to do that.
No, that might even be a question for the city attorney.
They do have to comply with the city regulation, but the homeowners association has to adopt that.
Right.
I understand, but we can still put that in there.
It would have to be
rental property devalues a community. It's no community when you allow rental property.
I understand that, sir. There was never a discussion for this to be a rental community. It started to come up because we were asked to put the note on the plan and include it in the PUD that which is the city ordinance, that we can't have a short-term rental 14 days or less. And we were more than happy to do that, and we've done that. And then also all of the things that that were listed here that were asked by staff, we were happy to comply with. We talked and negotiated about the reason why we asked about the roads being pub or private to start with was because it is a small community. We didn't want to overburden the homeowners with that responsibility of maintaining the road, but if that's not possible, but again, we are very amenable to getting the right-of-way right.
Please, there's no reason for you to ever apologize. You're just doing your job, and we're just doing ours, so don't ever think that, I mean, I don't want you to leave here thinking that, no. We understand.
Thank you.
What I don't and wish I knew was the discussion last night, because I'm having a hard time understanding if we had that much opposition to the PUD, and I understand, was it based on parking, cluster homes, cluster, I mean, what was the, What was the animus toward the PUD versus by right?
Okay, I can help you just because I've heard some discussions.
Okay.
What is of concern, and when you travel through East Orange Beach, you have 75-foot wide lots. When you have 75-foot wide lots and you have 10-foot side setbacks, your two-car garage is not your entire frontage of your house. 50-foot lots are great for houses elevated on pilings because you don't need a garage and you can park underneath.
Right.
A 50-foot lot monoslab situation with a two-car garage, you end up with every house is basically a garage because with your side setbacks and a 22-foot wide garage, all you have is a 10-foot stoop.
So every, legitimate concern.
So every single house, even though they're saying they have different frontages, basically when you drive through there, it's going to look like a tract home development because every house is basically going to be a garage with a 10-foot stoop.
Right.
The concern is when you drive through East Orange Beach, you've got every different kind of design of every different home. A 75-foot wide lot allows for different architectural designs, different variability, different aesthetic, different character in your neighborhood.
Okay. So if there was a by right scenario presented with 75-foot lots, then that would have been acceptable to the neighborhood.
I believe 75-foot lots was the main, and we do have members of the neighborhood okay. here that can speak.
Okay. I just need to understand that they weren't under the impression that if the PUD was voted down, there would be nothing ever developed.
Well, I
just want to make sure that.
I think some of the list I heard last night was, all right, so short-term rentals, I mean, vacation rentals won't be allowed.
Right.
But if you're there for 15, 16, or 17 days, they're allowed. And so they said this is going to be it's going to be an attraction for house parties and a lot of things going on, a lot more cars coming in there. They're not going to park just where the right-of-way parking is. They're going to park all over the place. There's drainage concerns also about the entire development and, of course, the traffic volume. And then, again, you've got postage stamp lots,
okay.
and that's the biggest. Those were the biggest concerns, I think, of the group that spoke.
So just to point out, too, though, like I said, with the clustering, if we go to the 75-foot lots, there will be no common open space left on the property. The infrastructure will be increased. It's not as environmentally sensitive design.
But in some ways it is because the lots are larger. It allows for people to do things with their with more setbacks, with yards, et cetera. So to me, that's a win.
So economics, if we go with a by right downzoning of the GB 75-foot lots, your infrastructure costs go up is what that amounts to. Which affects.
Most likely, yes.
Okay, and again, I'm just being, you're not hurting my feelings, I'm not hurting yours, hopefully, just these are the facts. We're trying to understand why. I hope that you guys get the gut feeling that cluster houses over here ain't going to work. I think that we're barking up the wrong tree, and I hate to waste anybody else's time. I mean, we're not voting, but we're trying to get something accomplished here. I think that, in my opinion, go back to the drawing board. Come back with a by right scenario that meets the neighborhood itself. Because like Kit said, that is a lot of homes in there, and every one of them are 75 foot. They have a look. They're very proud. And I don't disagree. They're very proud of East Orange Beach. This does not look like East Orange Beach. It looks like a very, very nice upscale beach resort. I mean, it just doesn't fit.
It's a coastal community.
A coastal cottage.
Is a residential neighborhood. I mean, theirs mm-hmm. is a real neighborhood. This doesn't present as a neighborhood. It presents as something plastic, artificial, relative to that neighborhood. If that makes it, I hope I'm not speaking my own terms that I can only understand.
And the reason why, I mean, at least I have, I think a lot of us are, we've seen this design probably 6 to 8 times.
Yeah.
And I am tired of seeing it, and I'm tired of reducing lot sizes. I'm tired of postage stamp lots. I don't like the clustering. We Orange Beach don't need clustering. We need real neighborhoods. And so I think it could be a great neighborhood. I agree. Do it by right. And if you do it like Shore Acres, it's going to be a great development, because you're having great success with Shore Acres. And I don't think I'm wrong, but I think the prices are up considerably from what you first advertised those prices.
And I know that's not your call,
right?
But I think we're trying to help you and the developer know which direction to go. There's no reason to waste any more time, money. It just doesn't make any sense. But, I mean, if they want to go through the full course of moving through this and a vote, we're fine with that, too. That is completely on their call. But I think what we prefer, if I'm hearing correctly, neither one is wrong. But what fits that neighborhood is traditional 75-foot lots, traditional infrastructure, traditional parking that matches everybody else's. Kit, am I on?
That's what I heard.
Okay. Jerry, Annette?
Yes.
Is that what y'all heard?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Can I speak? Because I've listened to everybody.
Sure.
Pretty much. Well, I agree with Jerry and your sentiments, so I'm gonna address you. My concern is the public parking, the right-of-way parking. Those parking issues that we have seen in the past. I know we say that they won't park over a sidewalk and such, but they're going to. They're going to. We are a boating community. We have boats. We have golf carts. We have jet skis. They need storage. There's a lack of storage here. It's going to get in the yard. It's going to be in the driveway. It's going to be in the street and the right of way. I see it. The 50-foot lots by 89-foot, 5,500 square foot lots, when normal RS1 lots are 9,000 square feet, I think we've reached a limit on these small lots. So those are my concerns.
Thank you. I do think that there's a benefit to a community to have a variety, but I certainly respect everybody's opinions.
And you may be right. I don't know how many we approved, these 50-foot lots at Sunset, Lauder. I mean, where else? I mean, we've...
Third cottages on the beach.
Yeah.
The townhouses, and we've done a lot.
We have approved quite a few of them at different, like, Sunsets, not around another neighborhood. So you may be right. It may be what the market... But
right.
We've approved a lot of them, and we've got... So we have that here in the city, but this just did not go with that, with the neighborhood surrounding it.
Yeah,
and I think that's why there was such an uproar about it.
Right. It's a very challenging time right now because of the cost of construction.
Sure.
It's just astronomical.
It is.
And then I'm not sure what that does to the numbers as far as whether or not it'll be a viable project. So, you know, with the compactness of the infrastructure, that was a benefit.
Sure.
And we do understand that.
Yeah.
And this project would look great on the beach.
Yeah.
On Beach Road, this would fit in anywhere.
Yeah.
Behind Strip Mall, and back all by itself would be fine. But that it doesn't fit on this particular site with this particular neighborhood. And again, that's just a matter of opinion and perspective. Doesn't mean we're right or wrong.
Right.
And we appreciate all the help and all the effort that you went to make this design, and I know that there are lots of aspects of it that are very nice,
I guess I'm a big advocate for different types of housing, because it's sad to see our kids grow up and not be able to afford to live in the places that they were born, and because they get priced out of the housing, and that's a concern. And so One way to keep things a little bit more like realistic.
You went too far. you should have stopped about 30 seconds.
That's right.
Those houses over there aren't going to be anything our children can afford.
No.
Those are going
I'm
to
just
be,
talking about a general trend.
I understand. Okay. But I just want to make sure that the inference that, or that's what I took it, is that by going by right, all of a sudden we have increased the cost at a point where now we are pricing our kids out of what y'all were offering for them to buy. And that's, we know that's going to be $600,000 or $700,000 homes. So And I'm not trying to be rude, but we're on camera, so I want to make sure we clarify everything that's said. So.
No, it's just meant just to say that I think that every community needs to have a mix of housing.
Well, we do.
It is achieved in a number of ways, whether that's multifamily or smaller lots. But thank you all for the time. Right. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, please.
Hey, good evening. Sam Kearns with TerraCore Development Services and 68 Ventures. We would like to petition the council to suspend rules and go ahead and vote on the project.
As is?
Yes, sir.
As is presented?
Correct. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Well, appreciate that, but they probably won't be suspended.
We won't,
but you know, if you want to go through the project as it is, then we will be glad to do that. That's up to y'all to whether you pull it or not.
Okay.
So just trying to give you some general guidance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Like I do my 15-year-old.
Let me make sure.
Sir, you're requesting us to suspend the rules and act on it tonight.
Yes, sir.
Got it. Thank you.
Well, I guess we could do that.
I'd rather wait.
They don't want to wait.
Yeah,
I get it. They need an answer.
Okay. That's up to everybody. I don't have a problem with that.
I don't either.
You understand if it's turned down, you can't revise it and come back.
Oh, no, he can.
He can?
Yes, he can revise up to you. It just can't be similar, very similar. He can come back with a different cut.
And he can still come back by right.
And he can come back by right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, but what you're alluding to is, what's the scenario for everyone where, remember, if you're turned down, it's a year before you reapply. I think y'all need to look into that.
What the word significantly means.
It just can't be, it has to be significantly, and it's a subjective term. We probably run it by you, basically.
Let's look the language up.
Strong and fast, right.
And change the name?
Resubmit is what I'm saying. They could make some significant change. Okay. The idea is they don't want the PUD to just be changed a little bit, come back, changed a little bit, come back. But they can do a big change and come back.
Okay.
Hard and fast.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we haven't opened the floor up, so floor is open for anyone who'd like to comment or talk about this or ask questions. Anything? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. I was in the meeting last night and
name and address, please.
Dave Langford. 5089 Wilson Boulevard.
Okay.
And I hear what has been discussed, and there was great, great concern about the size of the lots and the way that these houses were going to be judged as far as the what their financial worth was going to be, and I'm going to reiterate what Mr. Jerry said. Huge concerns about traffic, and I know it all plays into it because I agree with you, Mayor, at some point in time it's going to be developed. We discussed the time frame because Canal Road's going to be developed, and according to Ms. Kitt, maybe in the fall. Assuming this was to be approved, and I'm speaking for myself, but this revamping of the PUD here with the 75-foot lots, with changing the business district, would probably, for the public in our area, be more amenable. But we're going to have a real, real problem because if they start this development, it's going to go at the same time. And we know that we have the school traffic on Washington. We want the sidewalks. You know, I would prefer, from my standpoint, that there not be any rentals. I mean, I've been here only 3 years, so I'm just a greenhorn in the city. But I love this city. And I've mentioned to you before, Mayor, we've seen each other at the rec center, and I'm concerned that, and it was also mentioned last night, that we're not Gulf Shores. We're not Panama City. We are a wonderful residential place for people to come and raise their families. And I understand her concern or her input about younger families. I don't have a problem with younger families coming. That's great. But we have to hold, this city has to hold on. If we don't, this thing is going to get out of hand. And you've already talked about some of the places that you've had to deal with, Mr. Jeff, you mentioned earlier. And from my opinion, looking at that development right there, when you pull in, it looks like just regular townhomes. It's just going to be a townhome with a garage in the front. Maybe painted pretty, you know, but it's not what I think, from my standpoint, this neighborhood and this community needs. We've got to keep it, as y'all have tried to do all these years, we've got to keep it a neighborhood community and a community that where people just won't come in and run over us. And you'll have the support of the people, I guarantee you. So I appreciate you letting me speak. There was a whole lot said last night, and I could bring up a whole lot, but I'm not for the current plan, and they can come back with something else again at some point in time, and we'll see what will happen.
Can I ask Mr. Davis something? So, because since you were here, and this will probably, anybody can answer this question. Going back to the by right scenario with 19 homes or whatever it was, 75-foot lots, and then general business being developed, that is preferable to have that over the postage lot size?
I can't speak for everybody, but I did, and I'm just saying in general, I heard comments saying that they would rather have a nice small business.
Okay. That's why that's
now, may not be the may not be the whole
consensus
group
of everybody
consistently,
in the, yeah.
But here and there,
okay.
The comments that a nice small business. Now, I don't like a multifamily housing. I don't like that at all, but I really think.
But it is a possibility.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I really think that the 75-foot lots mm-hmm. and potentially no rental
yeah.
and trying to work with them on the green space and making sure that the drainage. And I heard her comments last night about the drainage. But, you know, I work for an architectural firm, mm-hmm. and we have civil engineers, and I understand you can say it will work, but you really have to make sure, because the people downstream in our neighborhood are already having problems from up in that area, and we're trying to work with
darn beavers, buddy, you know.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to work with Kit and some things that we're working on. We do. We have. And they have been wonderful helping us down there. And we're getting there. It's going to take a while. So, but I think the people, and I shouldn't, there's some other people here that was there last night.
Well, the floor's going to be open, so anybody's welcome to speak. I just want to get a feel, and I want to know that when they left, they knew that they were actually making a choice. But there was never a choice of no development.
Yes,
that's
sir.
All I want to make sure.
Yes,
okay.
sir. And I think I overheard comments again
okay.
that said come back with bigger lots.
Okay.
Thank you,
David.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else? You're welcome to come up.
John McCabe, Bay Drive. I wasn't prepared to come up tonight, but you invited at least someone that was here last night. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that you're 100% correct. I think the thing I got out of last night was that the people that live in our neighborhood mostly live on a half acre. And you could put four of the lots that they're proposing on our property. And to me, that was a huge issue, that what they're proposing does not conform to the neighborhood. And, you know, another surprising thing was the concern about the environmental issue and flooding. So those were the major things I took away from last night. But and people do understand that these people would have a right, if they come back with the correct project, to build on that property, and they're ready to accept it. It was just this did not conform to the neighborhood. Thank you.
I understand. I understand.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Anybody else have anything they'd like to ask, Kit, or any more comments?
One other thing, when you talk about the flooding and such like that, that's that property, if we could pull that green,
very wet in the back,
that picture, it goes down to the swamp, right?
Okay, so this is...
Actually, Kit, I'm not trying to single you out, but I'm talking about south... east of your house at the corner.
This is the pig swamp.
Yep, that's okay.
Okay, there's his eye.
There you go.
Which is the leg.
Mm-hmm.
Here's his tail.
Yep.
And then there are the four people over here that have the duplex and the house where the pipes flow underneath Park Magnolia.
Yes.
And then
Park Lane.
Yes. Yes.
So the concerns are this swamp being impacted further such that that outfall is impacted further, causing downstream conditions. And it's not a problem unless we have back-to-back events or high-intensity storm events, or when the beavers are active and they're blocking the outfall, the ditch that goes to the outfall. We're very sensitive to the situation. When I spoke to Dewberry, and Dewberry's very good about their drainage design,
mm-hmm.
I told them, you know, we have concerns about everything draining into this swamp. Pretty much every project they submit, they design for the 100-year storm event, so I'm comfortable that they will address. If you notice the size of the ponds on that PUD,
right.
They were very large. That was in response to meetings with the city.
And they are very large. And I'm noticing two, right? We've got the blue one,
well,
the larger
one. One is an attenuation pond, and one is a water quality pond.
Water quality,
this
okay.
This one to deal with flood control, and this one was to deal with treatment.
And then beyond that, it goes to the swamp.
And it goes to the swamp, which goes that way.
And we've also got that development going on next door that we approved at Liberty Linen. Right? Right next door? What they were going to do in the back?
Liberty Linen expansion.
Expansion,
it's just
right.
An expansion.
That's a warehouse, though.
Yeah, warehouse.
Yeah, but they're going to do parking in the back and
drainage
in the back.
Okay, you answered my question. I appreciate that. Thank you.
My question is by right. Okay, we're talking about square footage rooftop, obviously minimize absorption. So is there a issue there? Is that adequate drainage when you go by right, or they end up losing possibility? I mean, will that handle the drainage?
They have to comply with the ordinance.
Okay.
And as I stated, it generally as a rule, Dewberry size for the sizes for the 100-year storm event. But I do have to mention, nothing retains water and has less impacts than undisturbed natural habitat. So when the doctor mentioned earlier that there's conservation areas, that is the best scenario from a stormwater. No retention pond can ever replace a big forested area. It can never attenuate like that. However, this is the single family residential development. It's got the lowest, you know, amount of impervious area of the development that can be brought into Orange Beach. So this is a little different. This is obviously a worse scenario. But I have no doubt that Dewberry will attenuate properly for this scenario.
Well, my concern would be drainage wise, by right, we develop on the bubble where back-to-back rain events, because number of rooftops, reduced open area creates creates the potential for a significant event, flooding event is what I'm getting. I just want to make sure that we give ourselves plenty of room if we go by right.
The size of that drainage basin and the size of that swamp, this is not a significant
Okay.
amount of impact.
Just want us to go on the record. Okay. Just want to go on the record. Make sure. Okay. That's good. Just want to make sure we're on the record. Because you know how much grief that the pig gives us and the beavers. I'm telling you, it's a nightmare over there at times. It really is. So. Okay.
Love how y'all have all these names. The pig, the tree's name, Lucretia, and the... It's great.
What's the other tree on the Mississippi property?
Dancing Bear.
Dancing Bear. Okay, then I'll close public hearing unless there's any other comments. Moving to ordinance. First reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Port Washington PUD.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Sowers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Cannon?
Yes. Entertain a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Move for unanimous consent. Excuse me. So moved.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Sowers?
No.
Councilmember Johnson?
No.
Councilmember Mitchell?
No.
Councilmember Blaylock?
No.
Councilmember Boyd?
No.
Mayor Cannon?
No. All right. Got it. First reading, ordinance amending Chapter 30 of the Code of Ordinance, City of Orange Beach. Restate Article 11, Perdido Key Habitat Conservation, repealing Ordinance 2021-1382.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Sowers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Cannon?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll.
Councilmember Sowers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Cannon?
Yes.
I'd like to say thank you, Jeff and Wanda and everyone that worked on this. I mean, it was a tremendous project. It took a lot of wrangling and a lot of hours.
Kudos to Coastal Resources
and Philip and Coastal Resources.
They worked their tails off for just 5 years to get to this.
Thank you so much.
If y'all don't know what this is to finally get approval to be able to build some of the houses on Perdido Beach. If y'all remember the famous city council meeting about the cats, that was really not about cats in the city. That was about dealing with wildlife and fisheries just on this beach mouse habitat. This is all still part of that ordinance we've been working on for years. This gives the right for some movement forward where Wildlife and Fisheries has actually approved it, which is a rare thing. I mean, lobbyists have helped, senators have helped, everyone stepped in. And I mean, the kudos, Wanda, thank you and your team, and to Philip and Coastal Resources for sure and their team. So great acknowledgement there.
Long time coming, and thank you so much for everybody.
All righty. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn and move right into Committee of the Whole.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, let's call the committee of the whole meeting for Tuesday, June 15, 2021 to order. Call the roll, please, Ms. Jean.
Councilmember Sowers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Cannon?
Here. Consideration of previous minutes from our work session of regular council meeting, committee of the whole 6-8, 2021 will be moved forward for review. Moving to new business, discuss residential street speed limits. Just wanted to run by you guys. We have multiple areas in the city and neighborhoods that want their speed limit reduced to 15 or at a minimum of 20. I don't think there's a problem with it for me. I do think 25 means 35 for most people, and 15 probably means 25.
Is it 15 on the smaller or shorter, excuse me, and maybe 20 on the longer?
I think we were either 15 or 20 so that we didn't get confused or they didn't get confused, but on anything that's not on a main artery. So okay. If you go down into Captain's Cove, it'd be everything in Captain's Cove.
Yep.
You know, if you go into Terry Cove Harbor, everything off of 161.
I mean, I agree, but I've talked to Chief about it, and we're just going to have to start enforcing. I mean, I stood at Washington and Pine at that three-way stop, watched 10 cars go through there. One stopped.
All the way.
All the way. There were six that did California rolling stops.
Yeah.
I wonder how that got named California.
And then there were two that didn't stop at all.
Did Detroit rolling stops.
Detroit rolling stops, whatever, but it's a rolling stop. And two didn't stop at all. And they were going a good 35 miles an hour. And so I just think we're going to have to crack down on the enforcement because, and the last night they said it was the Washington 500 on the Washington Boulevard, but I could say it's the Park Drive 500 because once they turn on Park, I mean it is
it's Gulf Bay Road,
pedal to the metal. Yeah.
It's Wolf Bay Terrace. It is. Ever since the mayor and us discussed this in the workshop last week, somebody pulled out a chain and tackle the other morning in all the traffic. Okay, drove over into the entrance of Jerry Morgan's boat entrance across the street.
Yes.
Just hooked it and got back in and just stopped traffic. So when we discussed that the other day, I've been kind of more cognizant of watching some of the people and tags. And it's our folks and it's the out-of-towners.
It's a little bit of everybody, but it's the Wild Wild West on the streets.
The Wild Wild West.
Really?
Yep. So.
I'm getting the complaint right now that somebody got a $300 ticket for a rolling stop.
Well,
thank you, Chief.
There you go. You the man, Chief.
Specific to this?
We ask.
Okay. Is there anything I missed? Okay, because I don't mind. We had some Facebook messages during that, and I want to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Okay.
All right.
Tony Jones got his hand up.
Okay, John.
Hewlin.
Oh, I didn't see you. Okay, yes, sir.
I just wanted to say, I live in front of the stop sign where Jerry was standing on the path watching school buses and people going to the elementary school.
Yes.
I was sitting at my desk the other morning, I counted seven SUVs, not a one stop at that stop sign.
Just going.
Well, we agree. I mean,
we're going to add another 100 cars to that street with this development.
Well, we will do our best. Again, we're eight or either nine officers short. So there's only so much enforcement we can do right now just from the pure volume of accidents, calls. It leaves very little time for our officers to do traffic control. That's a problem.
True.
And I don't know that speed limit changes are going to make a difference.
But these are in our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
These are in our neighborhoods. Yeah. Like John said, watching folks going to the elementary school. Jerry, I know you walk a lot.
Yeah.
You witness it too. Yeah. These are in our neighborhoods. Get the message out there.
Well, and that's something
else.
Tickets. We may. There are people that learn the back door.
Yes.
Well, and I'm one of them. I learned the back door way to everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
But it may be that we have to redirect certain traffic flows at the elementary school to keep people moving in one direction predictably as opposed to people at the back door and through the neighborhoods. We may want to look at that, too. I'm open to this. It's just a thought. I mean, I don't know that it's a fix. I don't know that it's not a fix. I just know that 25 means 35.
Yeah.
That's just the way they do it. And I don't know whether moving it to 15 or 20 at least gives them pause.
I think if we do, then we must have signage to where they know what the speed limit is. Because, I mean, I go from Wilson to Pine on Park Drive, and there's not a speed limit sign at all. And so they're saying, hey, you know, I can go whatever I want to. That's what they assume. You can tell them it's 25 throughout the city, but... you don't see a sign there that, you know, and I'm not saying it's going to make a difference, but at least we can get through that, you know, there was a sign there and it will stand up, you know.
Well, when I see 15, it does catch my attention. If I see 25, then I'm going to be a good citizen to drive 30. So, you know, I that's the mentality of a lot of folks. So, but if we see 15, then at least I think we'll get their attention.
Yes.
I may be wrong, but. But anyway, I don't, like I said, y'all think about it. At the point in time y'all think you want to make a decision or give me some feedback or let's do it, let me know, okay?
Could we take tonight's discussion and let the chief and myself and Kit and Tim Tucker kind of put what we're going to get with Sean Brumley and kind of bring you, because I know Chief and I were talking today, we've got several streets like Gulf Bay Road that's 35. Where was the other 35 we were talking about?
Marina Road.
Now, oddly enough, we were also plotting out where we have most of our residential accidents, and most of them are connected to the main 45-mile-an-hour speed limits. But when we look at that, you know, we don't have any, I'd say we have very few street signs that would be 15 and 20, so we'll have to order all those. And like everything, I'm sure there's a shortage. So if we could get a plan and then bring you the map and we could really look, and that may give you the problem areas that we can figure out. And there may be some solutions, maybe, would include Chief Kimmerling in where we might want to add some stop signs, not speed humps.
Yes.
Well, that's going to be eventually an option. If we can't slow folks down, we're going to start putting big old speed humps for everybody to complain
about. Like the one in front of the Floribama, yeah. I keep forgetting. Yeah,
yes.
And we don't want to do that. Yes, sir.
That'll wake you up.
That's right.
And almost gets cars.
Yep.
So, at least people can see a car, and it's hopefully driven by someone that has a driver's license. But it's this car thing, not across the board. If you'll see a few do something like that, and it's really dangerous.
Well, we agree. And I think our officers are trying, when they see the situation that they can, they do something about it. A lot of times what happens, or most of the time, is if you call us about a cart, where's that cart going to be by the time we get there? Yeah, you know. So what we've got to do is I think we're hopefully in the fall going to move forward with our registration based on Alabama law. They will have numbers, something identifiable with the registration. So then they can be reported. If there's kids on them, then we can go visit with the parents. So we're going to have a way to hopefully follow up in the fall. We just want to make sure we have our ducks in a row of how we do it. Something else that I've observed is a problem. We got UTVs and ATVs that are not golf carts, and they are not allowed. Yeah, and we need to eliminate that. I almost hit one today coming out of the rec center. I came down that sidewalk in front, never stopped, and I was looking back to my left, and he was coming from the right. And if my boy hadn't hollered, I'd have run him over. And so that's something we've got to address as well.
And there seems to be more of those.
No, please.
15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, every golf cart out here can do that speed.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to get everybody to understand you can't do pedals to the metal on your golf cart because you're going to be speeding.
Yeah, and we agree.
True.
Thank you, because it is really getting to be, it's an issue, yeah. So we'll bring that, we'll talk about it, try to get a plan and bring it forward, okay. Resolution authorizing execution of software license.
Mayor?
Yes.
Discuss recreation membership.
Fees. Oh, I'm sorry. I already had it in my mind, so forgive me. I'll move forward. we're just trying to set what, when we get into the new place, going to set standards. I think we want to leave City of Orange Beach residents along where they are.
Yes, sir.
Go to outside. Ono is 150.
Yes, sir. Ono, those rates will stay the same.
And then anyone else that wants a membership, day passes are going to $10 instead of $5. And then a membership from the outside will be based on they have a business here. What's their reason or why do they have an option to be here?
Mm-hmm.
And they're how much?
$300 for a non-resident single and $500 for a non-resident annual. Of course, if they own a business here, just the same policies are now with business license, they can get the rest of their
residence. Okay.
Right.
Okay, y'all good with that?
No changes to our residents at all.
None whatsoever.
And there won't be many non-resident or ONO, but every now and then there's a special situation that we look at, try to figure out how to make this work. But
and we're always gracious.
Now, those fees, this is very, very inexpensive in the world of fitness. I mean, that's essentially
compared
40.
To the facilities and the staff and the service that you provide?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the comparisons that I've provided, none of those provide what we provided, especially to a customer. Sure. To, our facility, it's really become very much the social infrastructure mm-hmm. of a city.
There's a perk for living in Orange Beach.
Yeah.
So, and let me explain something to you, and I probably should to the council too. My no on that vote for MediaCom was the cost of 52 outlets at $9.95 when we didn't pay that before. And then it was a certain company, and we didn't have time to go out and really look and look at some options. I know this was handed to you pretty quick, so.
I thought you told me it was a person.
I can't state that publicly.
Thank you. I do understand that. And we're going to continue to look at better options.
Good one, Jonathan.
Close call, Jonathan.
So will we have fiber there when we open? Will
yes,
the fiber
ma'am.
Be there?
They are pulling fiber now. That's one of the things that we're waiting on with MediaCom, that they will be pulling the fiber to that. Now, we would love to go with
right.
other options, but they're just not there yet.
Gotcha.
And that's okay. $1,000 a month for what we approved for all these TVs. Mm-hmm.
Now, is a contract required?
3 years.
Yes.
3 years.
It's a 3 year contract.
On the day passes, when we do it, I'd like to, I don't know if it's legal, but can we put a range of 10 to 20 and then let us decide what it needs to be between the 10 and the 20, depending on how many is coming in,
let
where they're
administration
coming?
Yeah. Let
just
facilities.
See what it looks like.
Okay.
I'm not so
well,
sure.
Is that
Yeah,
is
I mean,
that
a lot of places.
On attitude?
No. Whether well, like I, whether
the,
I like them
or
not. Yeah.
Or the T-shirt. Oh.
Well, in a lot of resorts, it's just $20.
Yeah.
And even more. So, but at the same time, a lot of our day passes are to people that are grandkids or somebody lives here or something of that nature. So mm-hmm. we want to have the ability just to sort of see what our clientele is going to be and then decide what makes
right.
the most sense.
I get it. Like okay. Jeff said, over the T-shirt.
Well,
listen,
be a member guest.
Or the
member
money guest,
yeah.
we have
member
spent
guest.
To improve that facility is huge. And that's why it's grown so much. So
yeah.
I get what you're saying.
And everybody's very complimentary of that building.
That's right.
Yes.
It's going to be fantastic. Okay.
But it costs a lot.
And we're not making any changes to pickleball play and things like that. You know, in 4 years we ran almost 22,000 people through pickleball play, and that was when we only had 3 courts.
Yeah.
So things like that won't be changed. So the impact also won't be like on our winter guests as well.
All right. Resolution authorizing execution of software license, PST Racks, PST Tracks, PS Tracks, Narcotics Tracking Software, Fire Department.
Chief,
I'll go with that.
Chief, is that's our narcotics? What we have to carry and such like that,
so,
right?
Just really
for on our ambulances and stuff like
sure
that.
We can track. I mean, that's a big deal.
This sure.
Carry. So
right.
This is electronic track. This is we're using paper one down. The state is okay with that.
Right. But it's so much.
Yes.
I get it.
A lot better system.
Tracking system. I got it. Thank you, sir.
Resolution reappointing members to the Gulf Shores Orange Beach Tourism Board of Directors.
Penny Grow, Bill, and yourself back on.
Y'all good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They do a great job representing us. Ordinance, public hearing, Mississippi Avenue PUD 76-2021. Good with that?
Mayor, I will be out. I'm getting ready to head out west for a couple weeks. Go get recharged. Be back about the 10th or the 11th. So
good for you.
I will miss out on that, but I'm sure.
I don't believe you asked our permission.
I have checked in with Holly and put my name on the board 2 months ago.
Okay.
So there you have your
permission.
Well,
we will delay it till you get back.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
You really don't.
We
take
want
care
you to share in the fun, bud. So,
that will
and
be
we'll
your
tell
call.
Everyone it's because you have
yes,
to
right.
leave.
Yes, yeah. Guys, I need a motion to go in executive session over real estate. Briefly, it won't be like, take long, but I need to bring everybody up to speed. Is that okay?
Move to go into. Yeah. Do you need to do your statement first?
Not for real estate.
Okay.
Move to go into executive session to discuss real estate transaction.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Hopefully no longer than 15 minutes.